Today's Shir's Masechta Yevamos Daf Ayin Ches. We will begin on Daf Ayin Zayin Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom. Our Gemara continues to discuss the halacha of a Mitzri, under what circumstances a Mitzri may marry into Klal Yisrael and under what circumstances they may not. So as we discussed, Tanu Rabbanan, the Gemara begins, Banan V'lay Banais, the opinion of Shimon, as he stated in our Mishnah yesterday, was that the halacha of Mitzri only applied to males, not to females. Divrei Rav Shimon, the opinion of Shimon. Amar Rav Yehuda, to which Rav Yehuda comments, Harayu Oimer, when the Pasuk speaks about this halacha, the Torah says, Banim ashi yivodu lehem, dor shlishi yovel lehem b'kal Hashem. And the fact that the Torah says, Rav Yehuda, the words are shivaldu, so we see that a cause of talam beleda, that what the Torah is saying is that the issue of a mitzri is dependent on birth. And if one is born as a mitzri, makes no difference if they're a male or a female, the halacha is that they will be considered a mitzri. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, so comments Rabbi Yochanan on I love the Amar Rabbi Yehuda Akos V'Talon Beleida. If not for this statement that we just had, that Rabbi Yehuda said that it's all dependent on who you were born from, and therefore a female who was born from a Mitzri, since she was born from a Mitzri, then she is in the same category of a Mitzri. I love the Amar Rabbi Yehuda Akos V'Talon Beleida Le'matza Yodav Ragla V'Veis Medrash. He wouldn't be able to explain his answer, he would not be able to explain his position because based on the questions we would ask. Kivin da Amar Mar, for as we have learned, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that Kahal Gerim Ikri Kahal, that when the Pasuk says Kal Hashem, the halachi, that when somebody is an individual who the Torah says may not come into Kal Hashem, included in that person is Gerim. So if he would hold that Nekevis Mitzri, a mutter, then they would be considered a kahal. And therefore, the halacha would be that a Mitzri, Rishon, Vesheni would not be allowed to marry them either. So the question is, Mitzri, Sheni, b'ma yitar. So then, we've been learning that the Torah says that a Mitzri, Rishon, Vesheni cannot enter Klal Yisrael. A Mitzri, Shlishi, and on, may enter Klal Yisrael. So says the Gemara, if we're going to say now that the halacha is that if we're going to say now that this halacha is only doesn't apply to females, it only applies to males, so how would we ever get to be Mitzri Sheni? Who would the Mitzri Rishon and Mitzri Shenis be able to marry? Says the Gemara. And the Torah says that since the Torah does says Yovel Hem B'Kal Hashem, it must be that the Mitzris are also included in the Isser. And since the Mitzriyos, the females, are also included in the Isser, a Mitzri Rishon will marry a Mitzri Sheni, and like that they'll be able to enter Klal Yisrael. Says the Gemara, maybe Rabbi Yehuda would agree that the Isser applies to men and women equally. And when the Torah says, Dor Shlishi Yovelam B'Kal Hashem, is referring to a situation, the Ovar V'Nosif, that somebody who is a Mitzri Rishon or Mitzri Sheni married such a woman, even though he wasn't supposed to. Answers the Gemara, D'ilai Kusav Kra. The Torah doesn't speak about situations where somebody did the wrong thing. The Torah doesn't speak about a child that was born Mi'isser, that the parents were really not supposed to get married, and here was saying because they got married, that's why, and the child was born, then this child should have never really been born. And now we're going to say that this is the child that the Torah is speaking about can enter Klal Yisrael. So of course, the Gemara right away asks that this is a very difficult question. For a mamzer that certainly should never happen. We know a mamzer is the creation, as we've discussed so many times in our Masechta, of Chai v'Krisis, or according to Rekiva, Chai v'Lavin, which certainly should never have happened, v'Kasrei Kro, and yet the mamzer is mentioned in the Torah. Answers the Gemara, the Ilas Surksov. The Torah speaks about a situation where there was an Aveira, and the Torah wants to tell us the repercussions of an Aveira. There was an Aveira where its people lived together, and they created a Mamzer, and now the Torah wants to teach us what is the status of this Mamzer in terms of whom may he marry and not. The Ilas Surksov, but now we're speaking about a different type of situation. We're talking about where the Mitzri married the Mitzris, which we're learning now should not have happened. And now they had a child. And we're saying that that child, Lechatchila, who could she marry, who that Mitzri Shlishis could be married. So how do we understand? That we don't have. So of course I saw that the Rishonim explain the Torah is replete with situations that happen because of an Aveira. We have the Torah discussing what happens when somebody speaks. But the Torah doesn't speak about a situation that where the wrong thing happened and then tell us because the wrong thing happened, something right could occur because of that. The Torah says that if somebody divorces his wife after she marries someone else, the halacha is that even if that marriage ends, her husband divorces her, her husband dies, she's never allowed to remarry her first husband. She's only allowed to remarry her first husband till she married someone else. Once she married someone else, she may not go back to the first husband. As the Torah says, Kikach ish, because lo sefer kreisa, krisis, v'yotza v'beis of a holch of a hoysel ish acher, the son ish achroin because lo sefer krisis, oi kiyomis ish an achroin, la yucha bala arisha shalosholcha, lo shav lakachta liyas lo isha, tevi lehifnei Hashem. And we learn from the Pasuk, tevi hi lefnei Hashem, that the Gemara explains in Masechta Kedushin, daf ayin zayin amen aleph, hi to'eva, be'ein b'nei to'evin. She did the wrong thing, but the children born from such a marriage are not Osir. Now this is a situation should not have happened. This former husband should not have taken back his wife. And that still we have a situation like Torah, where the Torah is speaking about a heter, v'kasvei, that the Torah is saying that her children are mutter. Answers the Gemara, the main point of that pasuk is not to tell us the heter. The main point of that pasuk is to teach us the Isser. This is to teach us that a husband's not allowed to remarry his wife that he divorced. Once we're talking about the remarriage, and once we're learning that that remarriage should not have happened, the Torah also tells us what is the status of the children that are born from that remarriage. But that's not what is the main purpose of the pasuk. The main purpose of the pasuk is to tell us Isser. And as we explained a moment ago, certainly the Torah often has to tell us what is the halacha when something which wasn't supposed to happen happened. Tana Rabbanan, Imnem Abomnim. The Torah is, again, going back to the halacha of the Mitzri. The Torah Kedusha says, Bonim Ashi Yivadu Lahem, Dor Shlishi, Yavalem Bekal Hashem. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, Imnem Abomnim, Lama Namadiris. What if the Torah speaks about Bonim, what does it say, Doris? The Pasuk should have said, Ben Shlishi Yavala Mekal Hashem. It doesn't have to say Dor Shlishi. And Im Nemedam Doris, if the Torah wants to speak in terms of generations, in terms of descendants, so Lama Nemed Bonim. The Torah should have said, Dor Shlishi Yavala Mekal Hashem. And there's no reason for the Torah to say, Bonim Ashiv Aldolahem, says the Braisa. Im Nemed Bonim, if the Torah would have just spoken about Bonim, and the Torah would not have spoken about Doris, I would say that maybe what the Torah means, that if a Mitzri became a Ger, and he had three sons after he became a Ger, the halacha would be Ben Rishi Vesheni, the first two sons that were born are Osir, but I would say Shlishi, the third child that was born, is Mutter. So that's why the Torah says Doris, to teach us that it goes down in generations. Then if the Torah would have only said Doris and not Bonim, only those that stood by Har Sinai were subject to this halacha, but not to future generations. To teach, therefore says the Torah, that in all future generations. So as Rashi says, that maybe the Torah, we would have thought that the Torah is only speaking to those who were standing by a Sinai. That's where the halacha is that this dinim apply. But in other places, the halacha would not apply. Others explain that maybe what the pasuk is teaching us is that, so there is this three-generation rule. But in the future generations, that rule doesn't apply. Others explain that maybe the entire issue of Mitzri only applied in that generation. Why? Because that was the generation of Mitzrim who treated Klal Yisrael so terribly. And therefore, they deserve to be punished. And we have this restriction. And future generations, we will not have this restriction. Continues the Gemara. Lohem, says the Gemara, the Pasuk says, Banim Hashivodu Lohem, Dor Shlishi, Yovel HaBakal Hashem, says the Gemara, Lohem, Mehem Menei. We start from the Ger. That's his generation one, his son is generation two, and his grandson is generation three. The Torah says, Lohem, a second time, to teach us, Kolach Achab Psulam. If the father is a Mitzri and the mother is not, or vice versa, we always decide that we always make the determination according to the parent that has the deficiency. Says the Gemara, Vitzrich lemichtav lohem, Vitzrich lemichtav ashiyavaldu. Dikasa ashiyavaldu, if the Torah would have just used the word ashiyavaldu, havaminim shibineimenei, that we start counting from the children, that the children are considered generation one. Kasa rachmana lahem, that we start from the parent is already considered, the one that was megayer is considered generation one. Vikasa rachmana lahem, havaminim mitzus muberes, that if you have a mitzvah who's pregnant, that she and her child became Jews, converted, they should be considered chad, and that this fetus should still be considered generation one. Kasar chmana shiyavaldu, to teach us that if the child was born after the mother was megayer, the child will already be considered generation two. Says the Gemara further, Vitzrich lemichtav lahem hacha, the Torah uses the word hacha, but the Torah uses the word lahem by Mitzri, as we just learned, to teach us that we follow the one who is the one that has the deficiency. When we have two parents, whichever is the parent that has the deficiency, that's the parent that will determine the status of the child. Vitzrich lemichtav loy gabe mamzer. The Torah says, Lo yovel mamz b'kal Hashem, gam dar asiri lo yovel b'kal Hashem, lo yovel loy. The word loy comes to teach us to hear two parents. One parent is a mamzer and one parent is not. We follow the parent with the deficiency. Why do we have to have this halacha both by a mamzer and both by a mitzri? Dikas rachmana hacha, if the Torah would have only written it by mitzri, mishum deba matipa psula, the parent is a mitzri. Ava mamzer, the bar matipa kshira. The definition of a mamzer is somebody whose parents, the mother and father, are Yisraelim. Emeloi, we wouldn't say that halacha applies. Vikas rachmana gabe mamzer, shum roi lava kala olam. Then roi lava kala olam. A mamzer is a permanent deficiency. Aval hacha, but when we speak about a mitzri, which is not forever, emeloi, there we don't have this rule of halach acha psula. That's why tzrichi, the Torah had to say it both by a mitzri, this halacha both by a mitzri and by a mamzer. Amr Rabba Babachana Amr Rabbi Yochanan. Mitzri Sheni. If a Mitzri who is a second generation Mitzri, Shinatsa Mitzvah Rishina, who married a Mitzvah who became a Giyar, so she's a first generation Mitzvah, but no Shlishi Hava. The son that's born to them will be considered third generation. What is he teaching us? Alma Kasavar, it's clear that he is of the opinion. Basa di day, we look at the status of the father. Basa di day, shadinale. We look at the status of the father. And since the father is a mitzri sheni, even though the mother, it's a mitzvah rishayna, the halacha is that the child is considered a mitzvah shlishi. And as I saw, the Ramban explains, even though normally, certainly, we look at the parent who is the one who has the deficiency. We just learned that if one of the parents are a mamzer, then the child will be a mamzer. Why over here is the halacha that we look at, we consider this child a third generation mitzri, because the father is a second generation mitzri, even though the mother is a first generation mitzri. So the Ramban explains, a mamzer, a regular Jewish woman, is obviously not supposed to marry a mamzer. So that wasn't a marriage that should not have taken place. Since that was a marriage that should not have taken place, that's why the Torah says that we look at which of the parent is a deficient, has a deficiency. But as we've been discussing in our shiurim, a mitzri rishon is allowed to marry a mitzri shenis. So there was nothing wrong with that marriage. Since there was nothing wrong with that marriage, that's why he's saying that we look at who is the father. Moser of Yosef asks the Gemara on what Rabbi Yochanan just said. It says in a brisa, how do we make a mamzer child eligible to come into Klal Yisrael? Ketzat, mamzer shenasa shivcha, a mamzer will marry a shivcha kananis. Havlad, the child will be an Eved Kanani. And now, Shechuchoy, then when he's freed, an Eved Kanani that's freed is a Ben Chayrim, and he's a full-fledged Jew. Alma, so what do we see from here? Basa didasha dinallah. We look at the mother. And even though the father is a mamzer, and particularly after we follow the approach that we just quoted from the Ramban, what's pshat? Answers the Gemara, Shani Hasam, there's a special rule that applies to Shvachos. Because the Torah Kedoshah says, we always follow the child of a Shivcha is always considered a Eved. Masav Rava asks Rava, the Brisa says, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Minyamin Ger Mitzri, Hayali Chaver. Rabbi Yehuda said, I had a friend who was Minyamin the Ger Mitzri. He was Mitalmidei Rabbi Kiva. He was a Talmud of Rabbi Kiva, Vomar. And he used to say by himself, "Ani mitzri rishon, v'nesasi mitzvah rishona." I married a mitzri. I am a first generation mitzri convert who married a woman who is similar to me, also a first generation mitzri convert. Asil b'ni mitzri shniya. So I make sure that my son, who's a mitzri sheni, should marry a mitzri shniya, that I should at least be able to accomplish, Kadeshe Bembani, my grandson will be royal of a call because he'll be Dor Shlishi. But ask the Gemara, Visakadatach Basre de Deshadinale, that we always look at the father. Why did he have to marry a Mitzvah Shnia? Even if he would have married, why did he have to make sure that his son, who's the Mitzvah Sheni, should marry a Mitzvah Shnia? His son, the Mitzvah Sheni, could even marry a Mitzvah Rishayna. If we always follow the father, a fila rishayna nami. Let him marry a mitzvah rishayna, and this child will still be a mitzvah shlishi if we say we always follow the father. Hu amalei, says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan is indeed going to say to the Tana, Tani, don't say that he has to marry a mitzvah shnia. Even if my son, even Minyamin, who's a mitzvah rishin's son, who's a mitzvah sheni, will marry mitzvah rishayna, the grandson will still be mutar l'kol. Says the Gemara, Kiyas Rav Dimi, Amar Rav Yochanan, when Rav Dimi came, he reported that Rav Yochanan's opinion was, mitzvah sheni, shenatza mitzvah rishayna, benas shnei hava. The son is a sheni. Why? Because we see that basa ima shadinalei. We go after the mother. And since the mother was a mitzvah rishayna, the child will be a mitzvah shlishi, because the mother is a mitzvah rishayna. Amalei Abaya. So at this point, the Gemara is assuming that why is the halacha that we go after the mother? Rabbi Yochanan is saying we hold achar ameim. Rabbi Dimi is saying Rabbi Yochanan holds we follow the mother, because there's a concept of uba yerach imai, that the child born is considered connected to the mother, and therefore we follow the mother. Amalei Abaya, so Abaya says, Ella, according to what you're saying, Hadam Rabbi Yochanan, Hifrish L'chatos. If somebody designated an animal for a chatos, and the animal was Muberis, the animal that was designated for a carbon chatos was pregnant, V'yoldin had a baby, the loch is Rotzim Eskapa Ba, Rotzim Eskapa Ba V'loda. The loch is that he could use either of these animals, the mother or the baby, as a carbon chatos. Yam b'shloma, and that Gemara makes its point. Yam b'shloma ubelav yerech imahu. If you'll say that the child is considered a separate entity from its mother, so since when he designated this animal, the animal, as we just said, was already pregnant, so the fetus is viewed as an independent entity, and since the fetus is viewed as an independent entity, the halach is that you have two separate entities that you designated as a carbon and havale, and therefore it's considered like a situation of kemafish dechatus lachrais, where you designated two animals, that the halach is, Amar Rabbi Yoshia, hefish dechatus lachrais, if one designates two animals to use as one of them for the carbon chatus that he has to bring, the halach will be, miskaper ba'achsmehen, he could use one of them, v'sheni tira, and the other one could be used till it becomes a balmum, and the money, and then you'll redeem it, and you'll take that money to bring nidvas keitz mizbeach, that whenever there were no kabbonis being brought in the mizbeach, they used the money from that fund to bring animals for the carbon. And even though there's a rule throughout Shas that chata shekipra b'leo, that if an animal owner had a kapara with a different animal, lamisa azla, that's a case of the animal, the other animal's put to death. That's in a case where I had an animal and I designated an animal for karmachatis, and then that animal got lost. And then I took a different animal. So there, halach is that when I find the first animal, lamisa azla. But that isn't the case here. Here, I upfront designated two animals. Since up front I designated two animals, the halach is one should be used for carbon chattis. I'm only obligated to bring one carbon chattis, so one should be used for the carbon chattis that I'm obligated to bring, and the other one, lemisa azla. But, makes the Gemara the point, Eli Amrit, uba yerech imahu, if we're going to say that the fetus is considered one with the mother, so if it's considered one with the mother, so then it's havle vlat chattis. And the halach is vlat chattis lemi sa'ozol. The halach is that if somebody designated an animal for a carbon chattis and it only became pregnant after you were magdish that animal for carbon chattis, and then it has the baby, that baby is considered a vlat chattis. Now, suggest the Gemara. If we're going to say, if we're following the concept of uba yerech imoy, so when you're designating the animal, even if it was already pregnant when you designated it, it's not like you designated two separate animals. If we say uba yerech imoy, then the fetus is not a separate entity. The fetus is part of the mother, and therefore the fetus, after it's born, is considered a vlat chatas. And often we discuss in Shas that there's halacha l'meishim es Sinai, that there are five situations by a carbon chatas that the animal is put to death. A vlat chatas, a tmuris chatas, a chatas shemesa balel, a chatas she'ovda v'nimtzis ba'alas mum, or she'ovda, or the animal case that we just spoke, in all these cases, that a moment ago the animal was lost, and then we find the original animal after we used another animal. And the way they're put to death is that they're put into a place where they're left to no food, and that's how they perish. So the Gemara is asking, if we're saying, Uba yerech imayhu, so then it wasn't that I designated two separate animals. The baby is part of the mother, and therefore it's a vlat chatas. And we just said, the vlat chatas, lemisa azla. Says the Gemara, Amalei, says the Gemara, so why by a mitzri do we say, as Rabbi Yochanan is saying, that the child follows the mother, because uba yerech imayhu. Says the Gemara, Dilma shani hasam, the Torah when it speaks about Mitzri, that specifies the ksiv asher yevoldu hakasu tala b'leida. The Torah says that if it depends on birth, and therefore we follow the mother, even if you'll say b'chol ha'Torah kula ubelav yerech imay, here there's a special rule, we follow the mother. Amalei, so Rav Dimi said to Abaya, kakafnaya. Kakafnaya means a person with a head, a person who's a great individual. Chazise l'reishach, I saw the person who's your leader, Rabba, who was your Rebbe, Bene Amudim, I saw him standing in the yeshiva of Rabbi Yochanan, as Rabbi Yochanan said the stint that we just learned, and he said the reason is Asher Yevoldu. So in other words, that says Rav Dimi, this wasn't your own drasha that you learned from the words Asher Yevoldu. Actually, this is something that you heard from your Rebbe, Rabba. So what Benad Gemara asks, Tama. So now Abaye is explaining the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan. The ksib, because the Torah used the word Asher Yevoldu, Haba Alma, it would mean that if not for the special limud that the Torah says Asher Yevoldu, Basa Vudu Shadinalei, we would normally look at who the father is. Because Uba Lav Yerechimai. Ask the Gemara, Elohada Amar, Rava taught us, Nachris Muberish Nizgaira, if you have a non-Jewish woman who becomes a geyiris while she's pregnant, b'na ein tzricha tefila. We don't have to take her son to the mikveh, because when she went to the mikveh, it also worked for her son. But why? If we're saying that uba ein the uba lav yerech imay, so then why would the tefila of the mother work for the child? He's a separate entity. Answers the Gemara v'chi teima. And if you'll say, even if you'll hold that uba lav yerech imay, that the child, the fetus, is considered a separate entity, the reason why we have to have a separate tefillah for the child is because what Rabbi Yitzchak taught us. Dam Rabbi Yitzchak, Dvar Torah, Midaraisa, the only time something is considered a chatzitza is rubai, where it covers most of the hair or most of the body, or makbrilov, and also bothers him that he has this chatzitza there. That's when it's chaitzitz. Rubash ain't a makbrilov. If it's covering most of the hair, but he doesn't bother him, ain't a chaitzitz. It's not considered a chatzitza. Says the Gemara that v'amar of kahana loy shana ela rubai. If it's mostly covered, that's when we have these halachas. Avakuloi, when we have a full-fledged chatzitza, chaitzitz. It's always going to be a chatzitza. So the question is, why is the uber not considered a chatzitza? And so why is the mother not considered a chatzitza? Why would the tefillah of the mother work for the child? Says the Gemara, Shani uber, we can't bring a raya from uber, dar heiner revise. That's where he belongs. He's growing in his mother's child. So we see from here, says the Ramban, that let's say this child is going to be a boy. So we're learning that the tefillah of the mother works on the child as well, and allow the bris when he's born. Normally, halach is that a male, to become a ger, has to have mila and then tefillah. Here we're seeing that the mila could take place before the tefillah. Taisus disagrees. And Taisus, the Ritva, disagree, and they hold that the tefillah, that normally when mila and tefillah are doable, the halacha requires that the mila be done before the tefillah. But here we're talking about a different situation. Here we're talking about a situation where it's impossible to do the mila. The baby's still in the mother's womb, or as the Ritva says, there's no chiv mila on a child that wasn't born, and therefore the halacha would be that, of course, where it's possible, the mila always has to take place before the tefillah. I did, however, see that there are rishonim that want to differentiate between a child, between a male and a female. And it could well be that if a geyiris went to the mikveh to become a geyiris while she was pregnant, the halacha that the child born doesn't have to have a new tefillah is only if the child that was born is a female. But if the child that was born is a male, the halacha actually would be that they would have to have first milah, and the tefillah that the mother had could not work because it would be a case of tefillah before milah, which doesn't work, and with that baby boy born would have to have milah and then tefillah. So the question that comes up, here we just discussed the halacha of chatzitza. And one of the questions that, of course, often come up is if somebody, unfortunately, they have to go to the mikveh, but somebody has to go to the mikveh and they're wearing a cast. And the question is, what is the halacha? Can they go to the mikveh wearing a cast? So it seems the Divrei Chaim takes a lenient approach, and he says that since she has to wear this cast, it's dangerous to take off the cast. Then the halacha is that she doesn't, that it's not considered a chatzitza, and it could be it could go to the mikveh that way. The same concept is used regarding people who have fillings in the mouth, even if it's a temporary filling. Since this is where it's supposed to be, and that's the way it's supposed to be with this person, that and therefore it's considered not considered a chatzitza. Says the Gemara, Kias Ravina, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Be'umos, when the father is from one nation and the mother is from a different nation, Halach Acha Zachar, we follow the father. There's Gairim, but if they became Gairim, Halach Acha Pagnish B'Neim, we look at which one has the bigger deficiency. Be'umos Halach Acha Zachar. And the Gemara proves what it just said. First halach that we said is by Umos we follow the male. Kritanya, as the Brisa teaches, Menayel Echem and Umais, one of the Umais Ha'olam, Shabal Knanis, that she is a Knanis, and the Torah says regarding the Knanim, Loi Sechaya Kol Neshama, V'hoyle Ben, and they have a son, Shatru Shoyle Knoisa Be'evid, there's no din of Lechaya Kol Neshama, we look at the father, and the father's not a Knani, because the Torah says, Shenemer v'gam v'mneya te'ashavim ha'garm itchem mehem tiknu, u'mishpachtem asher mochem asher lidu ba'atzchem v'hoi lechem l'achuzo. The Torah is saying, they were allowed to buy avodim from those that live with you in Eretz Yisrael. Who are those b'nei te'ashavim? Means that we have individuals whose father are not Knanim, but they married women from Canaan, and normally they come to live where the wife is from. And since even though the mothers are Canaanites, but the fathers who came from other places to marry these women are not Canaani, so there's no rule of Lo Yisachai Kol Neshama. We look because we determine the status of the child of the Eved based on his father. If the father's a Canaani and the mother is not a Canaanis, for Hoylet Ben, and they have a son, maybe we should say, Shatru Shoyal Knoisa Be'evid, we should look at the mother. Even though the father is a Canaani, the mother is not. Tamalayim HaSherlidu Be'artzachem. The Menaladim Be'artzachem. Well, we're talking, the only time it's permitted is because they were born in your country because the father came to the mother. V'loy Menagorim Be'artzachem. But those were not born in your country. They were born elsewhere because the father, who's a Canaanite, went somewhere else and he married a woman who is a Canaanis, and then the son comes to live in Eretz Yisrael. That son, because he has a father who's a Canaanite, will be considered a Canaanite. We learned further that the halacha is Nizgairu, that when a mother and a father become both gerim. We look at which one has the bigger deficiency. This explains the Gemara. B'mai, what is the case? That a Mitzri who's usher up to, as we've been learning, up to three generations, married an Amoinus who's mutter immediately, my pogam shemeshneim ispa. There's no pogam by both of them. Amoini v'loy Amoinus. So the mother's perfectly fine. Ella, the case is, when we have an Amoni marrying a mitzvah, is Zocha Hava, if the child is a Zocha, Shadyabas Amoni, we treat him like an Amoni, and he can never come into Klal Yisrael. We in the Keva Hava, and if the child born is in the Keva, so if we're going to treat her like an Amoni, so we just learned that, and we've learned in the previous Shurim, Amoni Velay Aminus, there's no problem with her. Here we'll say that we don't treat her like an Aminus, that there's no issue with that individual, but rather we'll treat her like a mitzvah. Mamzerim. Mamzerim, as we mentioned earlier in our shir, are where the two parents are Jewish, but they had a relationship that they weren't allowed to have. The Sinim are the Gevoinim that fooled Klal Yisrael, that the Gevoinim are from the Chivi that came and fooled Klal Yisrael, that when they came, when Yeshua brought Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael, he was supposed to kill out the Zion Umas, and the Gevoinim fooled Yeshua into accepting them as Gerim by not disclosing that they were really Gevoinim, they were really from Chivi. At that point, Yeshua made them Choytvei Eitzim V'Shoyvei Mayim, and as we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem in our coming Shiurim, that David HaMelech expanded that should be forever. Asurim, they're also to come into Klal Yisrael, V'Surim Isser Oilim. And that Isser remains forever. V'Surim Isser Oilim, Echa Zachar V'Echa Nekevus, and applies to males and females. Rashi's explanation of this Gemara is that even though they were from the Canaanim, since they accepted upon themselves a proper Geiris, there is no Issa Daraisa to marry them. Everything here is only in the discussion is Issa Darabonim. The Rabbeinu Tam disagrees. He says that, as we just quoted before, the Torah HaKadosh says, Lo Sechaya Kol Neshama, and what the Torah HaKadosh means to teach us with the Halacha of Lo Sechaya Kol Neshama, that these individuals remain Usur, Klal Yisrael, even after they become Geirim. However, even though we're learning that Mamzerim, the Sirim, are Usur, Visurin, Isur, Oilam, there are certain individuals who may marry them. Because as we've been learning in our Shiurim, they're not allowed to come into Kahal Hashem. But individuals who are not considered Kahal Hashem, they may marry. Amrei Shlokish, Mamzeris. A Mamzeris, Lachadoris, Aserodoris, Mataris. After 10 generations, becomes Mutaris. The Yalef, because he learns Xer Shova. A serious Siri, Mimayanim Me'avi. He learns Xer Shova from 10 generations from Mimayanim Me'avi. The Pasuk says by Mimayanim Me'avi, Gam Dora Siri, La Yovalahem, the Kala Shemar Oilam. And by Mamzer, the Torah Agdosha says, Gam Dora Siri, La Yovalahem, the Kala Shem. So he learns Xer Shova. Mimayanim Me'avi are also forever. So too, the Issa of a Mamzer will be forever. But Malahalon, but when we speak about an Amoni Ma'avi, as we keep on repeating, the loch is Nekevis Mataris, the females are Mutar. Afkan, the loch will be that a Mamzer is Osir, but a Nekevis Mataris, that after ten generations, the loch will be that the Mamzeris will be Mutar. Ask the Gemara, but if you want to learn from an Amoni Me'avi, why don't you learn all the way? As we said, an Amoni V'loi Amonis, Me'avi V'loi Me'avis is immediately. Afkan Amamzeris Me'ad, says the Gemara, Ki Ahani Gzer Shava. What does the Gzer Shava accomplish? That the Mamzeris is Mutter Me'aseri V'eilich, only after the 10th generation. But before that, she's a Mamzer, that's Osir. But Tanan asked the Gemara, how could you say so that Mamzeris after 10 generations is Osir, Mamzeris becomes Mutter? Then we just learn in our Mishnah that Mamzer in the scene in Asurim, Visurin Isur Oilam Echad Zachar Vachan Akevis. So what are you saying that a Mamzeris is Mutter after 10 generations? So to understand the Gemara's question and answer, there's a question throughout Shas. When we learn Gzeir Shova, do we say Domino Umino, or do we say Domino Ukuba Asra? Domino Umino says that if we're learning one subject from another subject, we have to learn all of the halachas. It can't just be partial. Dominam Ikub Asra says we can learn one halacha, but it doesn't affect everything. So says the Gemara, Loikash, ha, the Resh Lakish who says that a mamzeris is mutter after 10 generations, is of the opinion, command the Amar, don mina o mina, that it's, we learn all of the halachas from the Gzeris Shava. And therefore, since we're learning the halacha of forever for from Ammoni and Mayavis, we also have to learn from Ammoni and Mayavi that the halacha only applies to males and not to females. Ha, the Tan of our Mishnah, who says that a mamzeris is osul oilam, follows the mandam that says, don mino, you know, we can learn one halacha, that we're learning the halacha of a mamzeris forever, vuka ba'asra. And since we're learning the halacha of a mamzer applies to females as well as males, that halacha remains, and she's also forever. Shalos Reb Lezer, mamzeris, they asked Reb Lezer, mamzeris lachas sedori, what will be halacha by mamzeris after 10 generations? Mahu, he asked him, what is the status of such a person? Amali, so he responded, miyitli dar shlishi v'tarena, if I could find a third generation, I maybe could think of a reason to make him mutter. Not that he would necessarily make him mutter, but the point he was trying to make is that you don't find a 10th generation mamzer. Alma kasavar, obviously Rav Lezer is teaching us that mamzer loichai. A mamzer doesn't survive. V'ken amar Rav Huna, mamzer loichai, mamzerim don't survive. So I saw that the Shar Melech asks the question. If we're saying a mamzer doesn't survive, the Gemara Masech the Chulin says that we follow Roiv. The halach is that if somebody hits Rachman Slan or curses his father, he's Chayiv Misa. But how do we know that it's truly his father? So the Gemara says we follow Roiv. But ask the Gemara, if a mamzer doesn't survive, so that's how we know it's not his father. So many Echroinim say that that rule of Mamzer Loichai wasn't always in place. It was only established in later generations when the Nevi'im asked that of Hashem, that because they wanted to keep the Yichus of Klal Yisrael pure, the Mamzer should not survive. But it wasn't always that way. But ask the Gemara, how can we say the mamzerim don't survive? For nantanam mamzerim asur v'sur nisayilam mamzerim are also forever. Amar avzera l'deil b'fashlim v'neder of Yehuda the idea. If everybody knows that he's a mamzer chai, he could survive because everybody will know to stay away from him. The loy idea a mamzer that people don't know he's a mamzer loy chai. The idea of a loy idea atlas adari up to 3 generations people will stay away. Avotfei. But more than that, since people start forgetting that they're not mamzerim, the halacha is ein loichai, then the halacha is they don't survive. The Paiskim discuss this very interesting halacha. Certainly, most Paiskim have the opinion that even though the Gemara is saying that mamzerim loichai, we're not allowed to kill a mamzer. There's an interesting question about if someone is pregnant with a mamzer, is she allowed to have an abortion? And the Paiskim, almost all Paiskim are of the opinion that of course that one is not allowed to do an abortion, even though the child is a mamzer. Moreover, the Paiskim say that a child who's born a mamzer should have a bris, but the Paiskim can make a number of interesting comments. One comment is that the bris, the Drisha quotes a Maril, who says that the bris should not take place where bris normally takes place in a shul, that the bris should take place in a place where brisim don't normally take place. So there should be, everybody should remember that he's a mamzer. And in fact, there's a minig also quoted by the Shach quoting the Maril that says that we should call him Kidor based on the Pasuk, Kidor Tapuchais Hema. Everybody should know that he's a mamzer. Not everybody agrees that since he's mechuyev b'kol ha-mitzvahs, it's inappropriate, says the Chidah, that we should call him a name, such a name. He didn't do anything wrong. So, of course, he's a mamzer, but the halacha still should be that one should not call him by that name. It's inappropriate to give a person a name like that when he didn't do anything wrong. Says the Gemara, Hahu dava b'shavuse d'Ravami. There was a mamzer that lived in the neighborhood of Ravami. Makrosalei the mamzera. And everybody called him a mamzer. Havaboch of Ozal, and he was very upset that everybody's calling him a mamzer. Amalei, so Ravami said, don't be upset. Chayim. Nasatiloch, because if you're going to be forgotten that you're a mamzer, as we just learned, you're going to have to pass away. By everybody knowing that you're a mamzer, the aloch is you will be able to survive. Am Rav Chana bar Ada Nesinim. When we speak about the Nesinim, David gozer aleihem. David made a gzeira, as we mentioned in the Mishnah, that we may never marry the Nesinim. Shnema. The Melech David called a Gevoinim, as we're going to learn, that they should forgive Shaul for what happened to them, and they refused, as we learned. The Gevoinim lo b'nei Yisrael heima, and the pasuk says that they are never accepted into Klal Yisrael. Says the Gemara, my time of Gazalai, why did he make such a gzeira? Says the Gemara, the Ksiv of Kosuk says, Vehi Rabbi made David Shal Shonim. There was a hunger for 3 years in the time of David. Shana Chashana, 3 consecutive years. Shana Rishana Amalhem, Shema Ovde Avetz Kacham Yeshbechem. Maybe this is happening because you're worshipping Avodah Gzorah. And the Pasuk says, Vavadatam Alhem Acher Mishtavis Alhem, Vaatzah Shemaim Velo Yemotah. They did not find anybody in Klal Yisrael who was worshipping Avodah Zarah. Shnia, the second year, he said to them, Amalem Shema Ivri Aveira Yeshbechem, that people were acting immorally. The Ksiv Yimnu Revivim, the rain is held back, the earlier rain, or Malkshle Hayin, the later rain, or Matzach Isha Zayna Hayalach, because people are acting immorally. Batkuv Lai Matzu. They did not find any Jew that behaved that way. Shlishis, the third year, Amalhem, Shema Paisi Tztaka Rabim Yeshbechem, the people who pledge to give Tztaka, they noise them, and they don't fulfill the pledge. The Ksiv, Nesiyim V'ruach V'geshem Ayin, there's clouds, but no rain, because Ish Mahalal V'mat Nesheka, people don't give what they promise to give. Bat Kuvalay Matzol, and again, they tried to discover what was the halacha, what was the case, and there was nobody like that. So the Rishonim discuss, why is it Paiske Tztaka Barabim? And what about Bichidus? So Rashi Masechta Taina says that if a person doesn't want to give Tztaka, so he just won't give Tztaka. But sometimes he's embarrassed to not, when there's an appeal, so he's embarrassed not to pledge, but he really doesn't have any intention to give. That's cool. That's why it's much more of a concern of Paiske B'Tztaka B'Rabim. Another pshat that I saw that the Marshal and the Yun Yaakov say, if a person makes a pledge publicly that he's going to give Tztaka, those who are expecting to get the Tztaka are confident that they're going to get the Tztaka. And then when they don't get the Tztaka, and they spend money and they make calculations based on it because they're certain that they're going to get it. And then when they don't get what they were supposed to, it's very disturbing to them. Amar, so at this point, David HaMelech recognized, Ein Hadava El Talibi. It must be because of me. So the pasuk says, "V'yivakish David b'nei Hashem." Mahi, what does that mean? Amar Shlokish Sheshal b'Urim v'Tumim. He asked Urim v'Tumim. My mashma says the Gemara. How do we know that it means that he asked the Urim v'Tumim? Because the pasuk says, "V'yivakish David b'nei Hashem." Amar Abelazar, Asya Pnei Pnei. We learned the following Gzeri Shava. Ksiv Hachav Yivakas Tavris Pnei Hashem, V'ksiv Hasam V'shalai V'mishmer Urim V'tumim. And even though normally the halacha is, normally the Urim V'tumim are only consulted when it's something that applies to all of Klai Yisrael, something that applies to the Melech is considered as if it applies to all of Klai Yisrael. And therefore, even though normally everything is Alpi Derech Ateva, explained the Achrayinim, here, where all of Klai Yisrael was suffering, and there was no easy explanation for why, the place to go is to the Urim V'Tumim.